Good morning. This is Pastor Rick Eaton, and I'm coming to you once again from my house in Vienna. It appears as though the virus has been in our building last Sunday, so out of an abundance of precaution, we have decided to avoid gathering in the building for 3 weeks. In the hopes of protecting all our families. Let's pray. Father, be with us. Be with us in this trying time. Help us to remember that the church is us. It's about us choosing to serve and to honor you wherever we are, whether we're in our homes, in our workplaces, out in the community. Lord, I ask you to be with those who have this virus, those who are dealing with illness, Lord, and the many other trials and challenges that people of our church and our community are living through. We lay them before you. We ask for guidance, for direction, and most of all, that in the midst of this, we can find some peace. We know that your Son is the Prince of Peace. We trust in Him. We ask you to guide us, to relax, and to receive that peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's the fourth week of our celebration of the Advent, and the last before that blessed day when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to share some words from the mother of Jesus. Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be according to your word. Now, my wife at times asks me to do things, whether it be in person or sending a text. Can you pick this up? Could you do this for me? And lately, over the last few years, I began to use the term, "Yes, dear." I have to admit, sometimes I do it with a little bit of sarcasm. Truth is, and I'm sure she recognizes that when I say yes, dear, I'm suggesting as though, whatever you want, dear, I'm going to do it. But yet there's a part of me, of course, that's holding back, that I only say yes, dear, when I already intended or was willing to do it. But I imply this idea of, you know, I'm just here to serve you, dear. You know, God's looking for people who will reply, yes, according to your word, without hesitation. At times, he will call upon his followers to act against their very nature. He may ask you to forgive the unforgivable, to love the unlovable, to give grace to those who do not deserve it, to turn the other cheek. You understand, when you make these choices, when you choose to do that as He guides, you are acting just like Him. You're following in His footsteps. You're offering grace to those who do not deserve it. You are most like God when you're being loving towards others who do not deserve it. Jesus at one point basically says, hey, if you love those who love you, you know better than the worst of sinners. They often do the same. But when you love those who do not deserve it, you understand that's what God did for us when He sent His Son, Jesus the Christ, to die on our behalf. Christmas has become so commercialized. Sometimes it's hard to see Jesus anywhere, even though the holiday bears his title, Christ. I enjoy listening to Christmas music. I don't care if they start even before Thanksgiving. I enjoy listening to it. But something I've noticed lately in the commercial stations, the vast majority of the Christmas songs that they play have a whole lot more to do with that fellow in the red suit than Jesus Christ. But at the same time, I've noticed there is often a spirit, a sense, a desire to be a little more giving during this time of year that goes against the natural. I mean, do you all sense that? It seems as though many people seem to imply or think, pass cards around that say it in movies and television shows, that this time of year we should be a little bit more this way, a little bit more loving, a little bit more caring. You see, Jesus is calling upon us to have this attitude all year long and with all who we come in contact with. Let it be according to your word. The word of God spoke of the arrival of the coming of the Christ child over 1,000 years before, through the Old Testament prophet Nathan. King David, the greatest king of Israel, was told these words by that prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, this is Nathan speaking to David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So God, speaking through Nathan, is telling David his kingdom will last forever. Someone who comes after him will carry on a kingdom that will last forever. Verse 14, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This had a twofold fulfillment. First, with David's direct son, Solomon, who, though he was the wisest man who ever lived, was still a sinner like you and I. And its ultimate fulfillment was through Jesus, who was born in the womb of Mary of Nazareth. Jesus was clothed in the flesh, yet without sin. The psalmist Ethan the Ezrahite shared these words, having also lived during the reign of King David. In Psalm 89, verses 1 through 4, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Selah. The Jews of the first century had been awaiting the arrival of the one who would bring in a kingdom that would last forever. Jesus is the king of that kingdom. But first he was introduced to them as a little baby boy, born in a manger. This morning we're going to look at the announcement his mother received concerning his advent. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Lord, be with us this morning as we look into your word. I ask you to bless each one who's taken the time to listen to this message. Help them receive the joy that's intended by your Son. Help us to remember that there is nothing that is impossible as we trust in you. Help us to have the desire to respond like Mary when you call upon us and say, as she said, "Let it be according to your word." We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. The coming Christ child will be raised as the son of Mary and Joseph of Nazareth in Galilee. Notice that Jesus was not born within a high society family, like many kings. It was common folk like you and I. At one point, one of his own disciples asked the question, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was a city with a poor reputation. It was kind of seen as a place where it was the wrong side of the tracks. His name was to be Jesus, a name that is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Savior, or God save us. He will receive the throne of his ancestor David. You see, Joseph was a descendant of King David. He will be the promised heir who would have eternal authority over the house of Israel. Paul tells us in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament in Romans, he says that the new Israel isn't just those with the blood of Abraham running through their veins, but anyone who will call upon the God of all creation and put faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The angel said, "He shall be great, the Son of the Highest, the Son of God." The Son of God was a title that was recognized by the Jews as making him equal with God. This little baby will be special in a way that no other baby has been or ever will be. He arrived like no other. Mary was an upright and honest woman and kept herself for her husband. and had only intended to offer her body up to him after the marriage had taken place. The Bible tells us that she was a virgin. His birth can be only explained as a miracle of God. God the Father placed an embryo in the womb of Mary. The Word of God doesn't give us a peek of that discussion between Joseph and Mary over this strange happening, which I'd imagine would have been very interesting. Listening to them two talk about what had happened and how she had become impregnated. But thankfully, to smooth this conversation, an angel, you have to read the book of Matthew to see this, but the gospel writer, Matthew, tells us that an angel also stopped and spoke to Joseph, explaining it to him. In part, this Christ child came to spread the love of God to any and all who will call upon his name. What must we do to please the God of our universe and receive this love? The Bible tells us that we simply need to believe in the one whom he has sent, this Jesus of Nazareth. This little baby that Mary will carry is the promised eternal king that will bring peace on earth and make right the relationship that had been broken with the sin of the first Adam. First, he comes to bring about peace in our hearts. The Bible teaches that eventually he will bring complete peace to the world. But for now, we can have a wonderful communion with God. This communion, this drawing near to him and him drawing near to us. I would compare it to what it's like when you have someone who comes alongside you and gives you a sense of peace when they're there. I remember helping teach my children to drive, and I think they would tell you that they had a sense of peace just because I was sitting in the car next to him. I had my hands up near the steering wheel at times when necessary. I believe they felt a sense of calmness that came about just because of my physical presence in the car. Imagine if they would have started off just attempting to get in the car and go by themselves. My calmness was passed on to them. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit comes to be with us, and we too, we accept that. If we accept that presence and rest in him and realize that he's calm in the midst of what's going on, we too can receive that calmness as we recognize and see him being there with us alongside whatever challenges we're dealing with. But just like Mary, notice that God, those of you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, he may call upon you at an inopportune time, asking of you something that seems impossible, hard to do, hard to deal with because of how others may see or perceive it. Could you think of a worse time for Mary? She was just engaged to be married, a young girl, and she becomes pregnant. Can you see, with God, nothing shall be impossible? When all hope in your own life is gone, for whatever challenges you're facing with, I encourage you, look to him. Jesus is still calling upon people today. How will you react when God has a need that you can provide for somebody else? How did Mary react? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. No, you and I are not going to be asked to do what Mary did. And probably most of what God asks of us pales in comparison, but yet, understand, to go about loving and caring for this world, God is still asking each of us to step up, to take part. We often love a hero who offers themselves up for the greater good. It's a theme played out in many movies. Just as the movie often depicts, shows that there's a need for sacrifice. I want to ask you this morning, I believe God is asking each of us to be a hero, to sacrifice your life for the greater good, to have this mindset of being willing to say, God, whatever you ask. Put yourself into the narrative that little baby Jesus began. As he was a gift to the world, go into your world and be a gift. He came into our world so long ago, he's still coming to this world. Understand, he's coming to it from those of you who trust in him and respond as he guides. He's still changing lives and he wants to do it with you. Will you pick up the torch and carry on? Let's pray. Guide us this morning, Lord. Help us to remember what Jesus came to do. Help us to, in turn, seek out opportunities where we can, in many small ways in our lives, make a difference as he has made a difference in our lives. Bless, guide, and direct us, Lord. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It is my hope and prayer that each of you and your families find peace in the midst of these trying times. Paul speaks of it as a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that I believe can only be found through faith in the one who came to this world over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel. Merry Christmas, and may God's blessings rain down upon you.